Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So last week, we started a message within this series on Am I Free? And we talked about praise. And if you look in your bulletin, you will see one of the inserts was a brief outline of some of the things that we went over last week. We began by talking about why we praise. And again, that was not an exhaustive list or reasons, because we can spend the next year plus talking about why we need to praise God. Then we got into a little bit. We talked about the seven meanings of the word praise in the Old Testament. Talk about halal, which is where we get hallelujah. It's a clear declaration. We talk about yada, lift up your hands. We talked about tauda, which is lifting up your hands, but it's more of a covenant. It's more of Lord God saying, I'm reaching down to you and I'm going to do this, give you all of me, but I reach back and I give you all of me, God. We talked about shabak, which means to shout, be loud, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Be bold about your declarations of praise. We talked about barak, which is to bow down. And zamar, which is to praise him with stringed instruments. And tehillah, which is hymns, communal singing, the congregational singing together, congregational worship. And we got into detail, and I really want to encourage, if you missed it last week, please listen to it. Because a purpose of this is to free us to praise. Declare freedom in our praise. We don't want any inhibitions. You know, one of the things that I shared that actually was definitely divinely inspired, because I was not planning to say that, and it hit me personally, was if I can't praise God in all seven of these ways, then I'm not really free to praise God. True freedom in praise and worship. And remember, praise is an element of worship. It's part of worship. I want to be able to freely praise God in every single one of these ways without inhibition. That's real freedom in worship. Real freedom in praise. Now, I want to add something to kind of last week that's not going to be on PowerPoint. Little thought about adding this because it's important. Biblical expressions of praise. There's a few of them. Some of them we went over. Talked about singing. 1 Chronicles 6:23 says, sing to the Lord. You know, all the earth, proclaim the good news. That's an expression. We know that. We also talked about playing with instruments, with shouting. Clapping is another expression. Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We talked about raising hands. But this one is an important one. We touched on bowing down a little bit. Genesis 24:26 says, the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. That's an expression of praise. Exodus 34:8. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped the Lord. See, praise as an element of worship. There are two words I want to share with you today, real quick. One is Hebrew, one is Greek. The one Hebrew word is shakah. S-H-A-C-H-H. I'm sorry, C-H-A-H. Shakah. Or shasha, however you pronounce it. And that means to depress, to prostrate, to bow down yourself, to crouch, to fall down flat, humbly beseech. to stoop to worship. It's a complete falling on your face, completely prostrated before the Lord as an expression of worship to the Lord, where you're just on your face and you can't move. You don't want to move. You're just humbled before the Lord. Now, if you're saying, well, these are Hebrew words, well, let me bring it up here. There's a Greek word that means the exact same thing that you will read throughout Paul's writing, especially in Ephesians. And that word, when he uses praise or bow down, is proskuneo, which meaning to kiss, like a dog licking his master's hand, to fawn or crouch, to homage in worship. This word occurs 59 times in the New Testament. Why is this word important? Because the meaning that is carried is, I am so prostrated on the ground in my worship that I'm kissing the feet of Jesus. That's what it's in reference to. Being flat on your face, where if you look up a hair, you're at his feet and you're kissing his feet. That's an expression of worship. That's being sold out in worship. That's laying it all at the altar of Christ. So I wanted to share these with you because these are important to keep an eye, to keep in mind as we worship. And just like last week, you know, in the freedom that we wanted to feel, I shared with the Holy Spirit, showed me words or thoughts that people had of, I can't do this, I won't do this, I don't feel comfortable doing that. This morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about thoughts someone would have is, I'm intimidated to do that. I'm afraid to do that. And you know what? As God reveals things about you today, rejoice. Because these revelations are made meant so that you break free of the hindrances to praise God. Even now, if anything is spoken to you that you went, whoa, or even if you felt a cringe, give God glory, because God wants to free you of those things today and set you free. So I want to get right into it now of what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what hinders praise. Talk about what it is and why. Now we're talking about what gets in the way of it. Why is it such a struggle sometimes? Well, Psalm 156 says, let everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. So if you can't breathe, you're exempt. But I'm assuming every one of us here is breathing. So therefore, none of us are exempt. Let everything, not some things, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. So what's the issue? What's the problem with praising God? Psalm 115, 16 and 17 says this. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. So what's the issue here? And I'm going to ask this question this way. Where are the dead spots in my life? Where are the dead spots? Because see, the dead can't praise the Lord. They don't praise the Lord. So where are the dead spots in my life? Why? Because it's the breath of life from God that will bring life to what is dead. See, Jesus is in the business of restoring the dead. The spiritually dead and the physically dead. He's in the business of restoration, of breathing new life into things. This is what God does. So let's look at some of the dead spots in our lives. And again, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are major areas that we can talk about today. You may think of others as the Holy Spirit reveals them to you that are more pertinent to you and that are exactly what you're struggling with, and praise the Lord. Because if they're being revealed, he's dealing with them. First one is sin. Unconfessed sin. I can't praise God with my whole heart. I can't bow down before Him. I can't lay it all at His feet. I can't let it go before Him and give Him all of me if I'm still holding on to sin. I can't do that. The awareness of sin in our lives destroys our staying power on the platform of praise. When you give yourself to sin, you lose your boldness to praise. Think about it. If you've got an issue with somebody, you're not going up to them as confidently as you would if you were completely well with them, have a great, healthy relationship with them. If you have to talk to them, you grudgingly talk to them. You grudgingly approach them if you have an issue with someone. Well, sin creates an issue, a separation between us and God. Sin separates us from God. It makes us lose our communion with God. So there's a hindrance in that relationship. It ties our tongues down, literally. And, I mean, think about it. It poisons the atmosphere of our worship. I can't worship somebody that I have an issue against or an issue with. Sin breaks that communication. It gives the devil the opportunity to take hold of our lives. It's the same concept of don't let your the sun go down on your anger with your spouse or with anyone, because that opens the door for the devil to come in and destroy your communication with them. Sin destroys it. Answer is easy. Repent. That's it. And remember what repent means. Change your mind. Lord, I'm changing my mind about this sin. I no longer want to continue in it. And I ask you to forgive me for it. And you move on. It pollutes our heart. And you can read that in Psalm 66, 18. Sin pollutes our heart. A polluted heart is not an open heart to the Lord. So sin is a hindrance. So if you have any sin today, if you have something you need to confess to the Lord, you don't have to wait till the altar time. You can do it now. Go before the Lord. Let's get it cleared up, because when we go into worship after the message, I pray every one of us in this room is free to worship and to praise. Second hindrance is guilt or condemnation. If I'm feeling guilty, and again, this kind of goes hand in hand with sin, but if I'm feeling guilty or unworthy, which we'll get into that a little bit more, but I'm feeling condemned, God's a bad daddy who doesn't like me. He's mad at me. No. God is a good God. God loves us. For He is good and His mercies endure forever. Think it's Psalm 134. Literally, this is God, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. It's another statement about God, for He is good and His mercies endure forever. The whole chapter is every statement with His love and His mercy endures forever. Why? Because God is a good God. Condemnation does not come from God. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Condemnation comes from the devil to keep you down and make you feel unworthy to approach the throne room of God. And a lot of us struggle with this condemnation, self-condemnation. Or somebody said something to us to make us feel a certain way, so we feel unworthy to do this. You know, I've heard stories about, well, I was singing too loud, and someone said something like this, so I'm not going to do it anymore. You're feeling condemned. I was praising too loud. I was speaking in tongues too loud, or singing in the Spirit too loud. I was clapping out of key or out of tune or out of beat. Whatever. And someone said something to me, so I'm not going to do it anymore. I told you last week, God is tone deaf. Your praise is beautiful to the Lord. Your hearts are beautiful to the Lord. Don't let that spirit of condemnation, and that comes back to who we are in Christ. We are His sons and daughters co-heir with Christ. No, we can spend a whole message on each one of these, but I want to kind of go through them. Worldliness. Anything, this is number three, that takes your affection from Jesus Christ. Anything that gets in between Jesus Christ and you is going to hinder our praise. Anything that I make more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ is going to hinder my praise. Why? Because I can't, with a pure heart, say, you're worthy of it all. Or I praise you with all my heart. No, because my heart is committing adultery with what the thing is that I've made more important than Jesus Christ. That includes people in our lives. Spouses, kids, all those things. Worldliness. Worldliness is the opposite of spirituality. Your mind and my mind and thoughts will be centered on the things of the world rather than the things of God. It's a shift in our thought process. It's putting on our God glasses and taking off our world glasses to see things through the world, through God's eyes instead of the world's eyes, to prioritize them according to God's heart, not my thoughts, not what I feel. Sometimes feeling can be the enemy of the things of God because we're too afraid, and I'll be the first to confess, of hurting people, of getting into conflict with people, of causing tension in the home. You know, I need to go worship the Lord, but you know, my family would be upset, so I can't go. That's tension. Well, who needs to come first? What needs to happen? Search your heart. But God, I got this to do. And search your heart. And again, it's a struggle, and I'm not standing here saying I've figured it all out yet, because I am a breathing, living human being who struggles with these things as well. But Lord, I pray, you are my number one. Number four, satanic suppression or oppression. We're bound. We're being attacked by demonic forces. When Satan inflicts dark spirits upon me, they're going to hinder me. Okay? What kind of spirits am I talking about? How about a spirit of anger? How about a bitterness? How about a depression? How about just feeling insecure? How about a spirit of fear? When he sends those his little minions out there to attack us with those things, how about infirmity? Which is physical sickness that has got a demonic source. When he attacks us, these things hinder us. And it is in those times when we need to rise up with the Word of God. It is in those times when we have to start praising. Those times that our praise will break free. I don't know how many times I've stood up here Sunday mornings or on a Wednesday night or wherever, sick as a dog, but when the Holy Spirit entered and started praising and worshiping, his spirit just overtook. And he got the glory. Heck, at times the fire of God was so much on me that it actually broke my fever. But these things can hinder, and we need to come against, and we need to deliver people. I know people don't like to use that word. You know, they like to use freedom ministries because it's a tamer word, but it's deliverance. It's simple. Recognize that spirit, and we've talked about this before. Recognize what it is that's attacking you. Quit making it our friend. Bind it in the name of Jesus and cast it out, and repent for allowing it in the first place, and receive the grace of God. It's not what you see on TV, in the movies. You can do it in your own home. I know, my wife can share with you how many things that she's helped me cast out of me. And her. We've worked together. Suppression. Number five, rebellion hinders our praise. A rebellious spirit. I don't know, this might blow some of your minds because I don't know how many have seen this, but 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 says this. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Think about that. A rebellious heart toward God is like witchcraft. It's like sorcery, soothsayer, whatever word you want to do, fortune teller. A rebellious spirit is like those things. It's witchcraft in the eyes of God because it's directly opposed to the things of God. Obedience lines us up with Him. Rebellion separates us from Him and pushes us in the other direction. You cannot praise the Lord with a rebellious spirit, an attitude that says, "I don't care what they do, I'm doing it my way." I've even heard said, "This is who I am, and I'm going to do it and be like this, whether other people like it or not." Well, that's wonderful, except are you blessing and honoring the kingdom of God? Or are you doing things your way out of pride and a rebellious spirit? I'm like this, and this is the way I'm always going to be, and this is how I'm always going to do things. That's great. But is this the way God's calling you to do it? Or is this a rebellious spirit? Is this your pride? This hinders us from entering into the praise of our King. Anger. Impossible to praise God and hold a grudge. There's no way. You might be able to speak the words praise. You may be able to sing in harmony and in tune. You may be able to shout words praise, but your heart cannot truly praise God if you're holding anger and judgment towards someone else. You can't. You just can't. James 1:19, 20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God." It doesn't. I cannot worship God. I can't praise Him if I'm angry. If I'm angry at my wife or we get into a fight, especially on Sunday mornings, because that's when the devil likes to attack sometimes, we make sure our hearts are right with God and with each other before anyone else gets here, before we do anything. Sometimes we get it right at home in the living room when we pray. Other times, stuff keeps coming out till we get it right downstairs in the church office. But we will not enter worship till we are right before God with our hearts and right before each other. We've repented to each other and we made it right. Not have anger hinder that, because you're not going to fake it. We can't fake it and play church. Depression, discouragement, worry. This usurps our ability to praise. Why do we pray? Because we're excited about something. Are you excited about something if you're depressed, discouraged, and worried? They're direct opposite. It usurps our ability. It's important to recognize Christ in what we are going through. How do we combat this? Lord, I feel beaten down, and I'm worried, and I'm stressed out, and I'm anxious, and I feel so discouraged because nothing is working. All right, Lord, I'm going to go to you right now and show me your hand. Where is your hand in this? And Lord, I'm also going to make the commitment and make the declaration that I know who you are, that you never change. You're always the same then, today, and forever. You have not turned your back on me. Your promises are still true. Your word is still true. So, no matter what I'm feeling right now, no matter what I'm going through right now, I will choose to praise you. I will get out of myself and get into your heart. I will get out of what I'm going through. I'll take my mind off of me and let me worship you. Put it on you. I'm no longer going to focus on how big my circumstance, situation, whatever is. I'm going to give you glory for how big my God is. I'm going to praise my God, for he is great and greatly to be praised. Discouragement and depression, they just suck your life from you. And this has become, and what I'm noticing more and more, especially as mental health is becoming more and more prominent and diagnosed among people, it's an epidemic. And I'm believing, in my opinion right now, this has become a major tool of the enemy to rob the joy of the Lord from us, so that we will not have the desire to praise the Lord. And again, I'm talking to you from personal testimony. As I've struggled with depression all my life, and the only way I've learned to overcome it is to praise him and to do those things. And when that thing tries to come back, I got to praise the Lord. I got to set my mind on whatever is pure, righteous, holy, all these things that are worth setting your mind on, that are of God, to overcome these things so I can praise the Lord. He has to be my focus. This is a big one. Number 8, religious tradition. This is a big one. It oppresses. It limits freedom. Matthew 15:6 says, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." In other words, the things that God has told you, things that God has showed you, things that God revealed to you in his word, the truth of the gospel, the truths of his heart, you've basically poo-pooed them because this is the way we need to do it. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way we feel comfortable doing it, because people will whine and complain if we do it any other way. Tradition is an enemy of praise. It can hinder praise. Not saying all tradition is bad. Tradition of decorating the church for Christmas, beautiful. But tradition needs to bow down to Jesus Christ. It needs to take its place. If the Holy Spirit is moving, we need to move with the Holy Spirit. If you've never clapped before and that's your tradition, your personal tradition, and the Holy Spirit's moving you to clap, you clap. You clap. We break free from those things that are not of God. They are restrictive. This is about freedom in Christ. Freedom to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, to worship him with everything that I am. Don't let tradition hinder that. Let that become a new tradition, that we are committed to free worship, freedom in worship, that we just give our all to God. Let it be the norm, the new norm. Number 9 is indifference. Indifference. Being lukewarm or indifferent to the Lord keeps us a lot of times from entering into praise and worship. If I'm indifferent, that means, I can take it or leave it. If that's my attitude, how can I praise the Lord? How can I truly be committed to loving him and praising him? It's like saying, yeah, she's my wife, but I can take her or leave her. Doesn't matter. Is that going to be a good relationship? Am I going to honor her? Am I going to build her up and lift her up? Am I going to bless her? Is it going to be healthy? Am I going to walk out without a black eye? Probably not. But indifference hinders our praise and worship. Apathy keeps us from expressing love for God. God declares everything that has breath, praise Him. Apathy says, I don't need to. Well, are you hungry for Him? Do you truly love Him? Am I sold out to Him? Am I giving Him my all? If we are indifferent, we are showing that we care little praise and honor to God. It hinders our passion, our emotion. See, God is emotional, so there are emotions that are good. Pouring out your love for God is a great emotion. Apathy quenches that. It limits even our mental engagement. When I worship the Lord and I am in that spirit of worship, I am picturing Him in my mind. My mind is focused on Him. I picture myself sometimes in His throne room, in His presence. Picture myself with angels worshiping Him. And just hearing and focusing on the sound of the decorations and His touch speaking to me and His voice speaking to my ear, to my mind. My mind is stirred. I am stimulated mentally, emotionally, and physically in getting to His heart. Apathy keeps us from doing that. Think about the most boring class you ever took in school. And you could care less about being there and you're just watching the clock. That's what apathy does. And you know what? That's so sad if that's how we are when we come together to worship. That is heartbreaking. Because when we come together in the presence of the Lord as a body, we're supposed to move mountains. We're supposed to shake the foundations of the earth. We're supposed to be a mighty army like that of Joshua going around the walls of Jericho, tearing down walls in the name of Jesus, breaking down strongholds. We're ushering in the presence of God and we're saying, hey, Lord, come and consume us. Apathy says, I don't need you today. I don't know if I even want you. It keeps us from being in that position to receive and pour out. And pour out. Apathy and indifference is a very powerful tool against worshiping the Lord and giving Him our best. I share with you these things. I'm going to share with you one more thing that's not on the PowerPoint. Focus or life. Just life. I can't come into a place of worship if I am allowing my life style or life stuff of that day to get me so frantic or keep me so spiritually unfocused that when I come in, boom, I'll just turn it on. I can't do that. You can't just turn on praise. You can say, well, you're a pastor, and so with worship, so you got to prepare and come in focused. Growing up, Saturday night, I was preparing for Sunday morning, mentally, emotionally, with my prayers. And even more so now, whatever we're doing, we're fasting. We're praying, we're focused, we're praying for you as a body so that the things of life don't get in the way. If you're running late, you're not going to be able to come in and turn it on. It might actually even, it'll not just hinder yours, but it might actually even hinder those around you because of the distractions. I mean, we were at a worship service a couple of weeks ago at a church in California, Bethel, and it's powerful worship. But it was somewhat distracting because so many people kept coming in late and it was standing room only and people were squeezing in. So it was hard to fully engage sometimes in those moments. But I encourage you, get your mind fixed on the things of God. When Paul says pray without ceasing, he's saying stay in communication with God continually. Do not lose touch with the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned in to what God is doing. Because then you don't need to just turn it on. What you're going to do is amp it up. Not turn it on. It's already on. Now we're just cranking up the volume. And we're coming together with the body. So I might have been at a 2 or 3 on my volume knob. But now as I'm joined in worship and praise with you, we're all slowly turning up our dials. And we're cranking it up to 11. And we're coming together to worship and praise the Lord. As I said, this is not an exhaustive list. These are not the only things. You might have been dealing with other things that the Holy Spirit spoke to you about today. What we're going to do now is we're just going to stand up in a moment and we're going to just spend some time working through these things. And then when we're ready, we're going to get into worship. And I am giving you freedom and permission to worship the Lord with the way, with everything you got. You are free to worship today. You are free to worship always, however way the Holy Spirit moves you. We want to lift up our voices, but more importantly, lift up our hearts and tune into what God is doing. So would you stand with me right now? Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We invite you right now, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Minister to this body right now, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. As you've already brought new revelations, bring more. And let us do what we need to do, God, to get our hearts right with you today. To get our hearts where they need to be with you today, Lord. Yeah, Holy Spirit, move. Come. Come, come, come. You're free to do whatever you need to do. At the altar, at the back, at your seats. Just get it right with God right now. And in a few moments, we'll get into our time of worship and celebration. Yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, more. More, Holy Spirit, more. More, Holy Spirit, more. More, Holy Spirit, more. More, more of you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, more. Let our hearts be right before you, God, right now. Let our hearts be right before you, Lord. Just release your presence here. Release your anointing here, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord, more, more, Lord. More, Lord. Come. If God has given you a specific word about what we shared today, what he shared today, a revelation or scripture specifically to edify this body based on what is going on right now, would you share it? Feel free to. Yes, Lord.
I give thanks for prayer and supplication. Make your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace shall keep your heart and your mind. The Lord would say, cast your care
Yes, Lord.
Ask me for your help, and I will answer you. Do what I say. Hallelujah. We thank you.